From Luke chapter 13, the living and the abiding Word of God. In Luke chapter 13, we read this morning the first 17 verses, the Word of God that we meditate upon before the sacrament of the Lord's Supper will be the verses 10 through 16. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. The reference here is to Pilate killing a group of Galileans who had brought sacrifice evidently to Jerusalem, slaughtering them, mingling their blood with the sacrifice, and probably slaughtering these Galileans on the suspicion of insurrection, a cruelty that Pilate performed. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the vine dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. May the Holy Spirit bless his word this morning to our hearts. Verses 10 through 16. The miraculous healing of this woman on the Sabbath day, who had been bent over backward, double, is the response of the Holy Spirit to our Lord's emphatic teaching on the necessity of repentance in verses 1 through 5. That teaching of repentance can be summed in this question: is there someone that you know this morning who you think stands in greater need of repentance than yourself? The Jews had come to Jesus with the news of a tragedy, and behind this news, they interpreted that, well, they had two things that they were interpreting. The first was that they believed that tragic and awful events that happened to people meant that these people were especially living in heinous and in shameful sin. To which the Lord says, not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. But behind that was their thinking that there were people they knew who stood in greater need of repentance than themselves, and that if God would send His swift just judgment upon them, they would deserve it. Not so, says Jesus. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Is there someone that you know in your mind today who you believe stands in greater need of repentance and mercy from God than yourself? If there is, then you and I stand far from the kingdom of God and from this table. This woman bent over coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath is the response of the Spirit of bringing sinners with a burden to be lifted by Jesus. But note well with me the picture that Jesus is drawing here of the repentant sinner, one that we would not have picked. Is the picture of the repentant sinner this morning outside the rescue mission on Division or in Holland? Yes. It could well be the repentant sinner is there who has been converted from his or her lies and addictions and brought to salvation. Is the repentant sinner this morning in the Michigan State Prison, Michigan City, where we can go to sing hymns and psalms of praise? Yes, the repentant sinner can be found there, for grace is not stopped by iron bars. Is the picture of the repentant sinner that comes to your mind in India, or you remember your trip to Romania and the little hovel and the dirt floor and the sun shining through the cracks in the roof, and yet the eyes wide to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, yes, the grace of God runs there. But the Lord does not draw these pictures. He draws a picture of someone coming to church on Sunday in a car, a van, or a pickup. You'll see them around 9:05 start pouring in from 48th Street. Here they come again. For except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They come, if you had spiritual glasses on, bent over with a burden on their back. Yes, we come with praise. Yes, we come out of trials, and we come because we love the company of God's people. Yes, that's true. But we are drawn to church on the Sabbath. The repentant are drawn to church on the Sabbath because they, again, feel a burden that has weighed them down. And only the Word and the sacrament of Jesus can help them. We call your attention this morning to a burden lifted on the Sabbath day. On a given Sabbath day, we read that Jesus had been invited, he must have been invited to teach in one of the synagogues. The ruler of the synagogue, we learn from Luke 4, would be the one who kept the scroll of the law of God, of the word of God, and he had the authority to give that scroll to a teacher who would be teaching that Sabbath morning. He probably asked the Lord that out of courtesy and out of a knowledge of the Lord's popularity, and perhaps as he handed him the scroll, he whispered to the Lord, "Stick to exposition and keep it short." But as the Lord was teaching, he looked and he saw in the audience a woman who was bent over double. And to the indignation of the ruler of the synagogue, the Lord stopped in the middle of his teaching and showed mercy by lifting her up and straightening her out. Now, what do we know about this unnamed woman? We know at least four things. She was, first of all, a daughter of Abraham, verse 16. That is, she was a Jew, but specifically, she was a covenant daughter of God. The Holy Spirit is telling us that this woman had grown up in the generation of believers, from believing homes and families. And she had come to trust in God for her redemption and for her consolation. She was a believer, and she had come to the place of worship out of a great and soul-felt need. The Lord probably refers to her as daughter of Abraham also to remind the ruler of the synagogue that this woman was a fellow, I was going to say believer, charitably, to the ruler of the synagogue, a fellow believer. She's a daughter of Abraham. Why do you show more concern for your ox and your ass than for a fellow believer? Number two, she had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. She was bent over at 90 degrees, and she could not straighten herself up. Her lower spine was fused, and she walked around that way. We read, and immediately she was made straight. She was straightened up after 18 years of that. We read that this was a spirit of infirmity, which is a reference to a demon. A demon had been given who was cruel and had done this to her. Note Jesus' words in verse 15. "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Recall with me in the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul when he entered into Philippi and he was followed by a young girl who the Spirit tells us had a spirit of divination. Apparently she could soothsay and tell people's futures. And Paul cast out the devil, and her masters were upset with Paul because now they could make no further money out of her. Recall with me that Satan, in the book of Job, was permitted to touch Job physically, to put forth his hand, and to touch his bone and his flesh. a demon, had brought this physical affliction upon her. I tried this week walking around double with the pain in the shoulders and neck and looking only down. She could not straighten herself up. The third thing we learn about her is she is alone. She appears alone in the synagogue. There's no family there to help her. There's no husband. Had this affliction come to her as a young mother for 18 years previous, when she had a husband, had he left her because he said, "I don't want any more of this"? Were her children, if she had them, gone? We don't know. She's alone. She lives a lonely life. And number four, she was a Sabbath keeper. With many more difficulties than most of us will face in our life, she was there. She was in church. How many excuses she could have brought. It is too hard to get dressed that early in the morning. What about the shame and the embarrassment that I am as I appear before others in this condition? It's too much. But she was there. In the words of the Catechism, she diligently frequented the house of God on the Sabbath day to hear His word, because she felt drawn to this place. And she could say, "How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where Thou dost dwell." The woman is a sign. She is bowed down with something. And she is seeking a place where that burden can be alleviated and lifted. She's a sign to us of the work of the Holy Spirit, not the devil, the work of the Holy Spirit in our conscience over the burden of our own sin. To be bent over, especially in the Old Testament, is the sign of having a load, having a weight, of having that which is exceedingly heavy and pushing us down, whereas we cannot look up, we cannot straighten out. It wears upon our soul. We sang, "Our soul is bowed down, yea, we cleave to the dust. Rise, help, and redeem us. Thy mercy we trust." Think of it in your experience of an unconfessed sin. When we are stubborn and when we are proud. David says, "While I kept silence over my adultery and murder, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me," until God brought him to a breaking point. The life of God's grace in us is repentance. And repentance is to feel sin's weight. And a life that, by God's grace, is walking in the joy of our Lord, in fellowship with Him, is also a life that feels a burden where it was not felt before, as more and more of the evil and of the sin is identified within us as we walk with the Lord, and that burden increases. 6 days. And why do we come to church? We come because there is a burden, again, that we need the assurance of God's grace to lift. Not only is she bent over here in the consciousness of her sin, but she's also a picture of a life now lived under the curse of sin. For we are pilgrims and strangers, and the trials of this present life are God's way of strengthening our faith. there is that which bends us over called depression. It is a spirit of infirmity that we carry in our flesh that weighs us down, and we say, I can't look up. Note with me how vivid she is a picture of that, of what depression is like. But note with me, again, she's in church. She didn't stay away. She didn't say, well, that's the answer. I'll just stay away. No, she came. It was hard, but she came. There's the burden this morning of desertion. There's the burden of being rejected by husband or wife. Isaiah 54, verse 6, the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth when thou wast refused. He has called you today to hear these words, Isaiah 54, for thy maker is thy husband, and with everlasting mercy will I have kindness on thee. There is the burden of a widow, of a widower, of the loss of a dear one, of a child, sorrow, heaviness of heart. There's the burden of cancer. There's the burden of anxiety, fear, trial, grief over a son or a daughter who's wayward. So long as we travel in this life, there is a burden upon our shoulders that would weigh us down, and we cannot be straightened up. When Jesus saw her, he always saw her from all eternity. But as he was teaching, scanning the audience, he saw her. And in this personal and tender way in which Jesus always works with each one of us, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood straight and glorified God. How marvelous. Have you heard that voice of Jesus to you? And have you felt that touch of amazing grace? Note with me, there were two things here. There was word, and we'll say sacrament. There was word and touch. There was word. He called the woman. The voice, the irresistible voice of Christ, being heard in the soul as we hear the word of God, especially as it is preached. A word that identifies you. The voice of Christ running right now through the preaching of the Holy Gospel. A word of declaration. Thou art loosed. A declaration of a fact. Let me put that statement of Jesus in gospel words, right out of the book of Romans. Here's the declaration. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's the word, that's the fact that is addressed to us in the preaching of the word of God. That fact, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmities. And then there was a touch. There was the communication unto her of the healing mercies of God. There was the work of the Spirit of Christ bestowing upon this woman the blessings that are found in Christ, that she would partake of them, that these blessings would be her meat and her drink unto life eternal, even as we will partake of him in the supper. The bread and wine, as we eat and drink, so also, says the Holy Spirit, as you take them, is communicated to you the touch, the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was loosed And she was straightened by the word and by sacrament. She was loosed first and then straightened. Before she can be straightened, the burden must come off. But we must be loosed, for we can't untie the burden of sin from our back. We can't break the knots. Sin, your sin, is tied to you. You can't shake it. You can't run from it. You can't be foolish Samson, who stands up and says, I will walk out like I did before. You can't get it off. When I was in Linden, Washington, dairy community, one of the members, dairy farmer, his son on a moped checking irrigation pipe, pulled out in front of a pickup on the street and ended up, a little boy of 12 years old, ended up under the pickup. His father came and his son cried out, Dad, get it off, get it off. He couldn't get it off. We cry this morning, get it off. And only one can do that, of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the basis of his finished and complete work of Calvary, this bread and wine is the seal, the promise of a finished work of Christ, which loosed your sins and took them off. This is why she came to church. This is why we come to church, for this reason. Yes, other reasons, but this is the central one. She was there. She was alone. Had her daughter come from Capernaum on that day, on Sunday, with her grandchildren to finally visit her mother and their grandmother. Did she see Mom getting up and did she say, where are you going? I'm going to church. Mother, you mean church is more important than me? Than family time? You can't be with your grandchildren today? Daughter, come with me. Mother, you're in no condition to be walking down the road. You're going to get run over by a car. Come with me. Why? Why is that so important to you? I have to go because I feel a burden being lifted. Won't you come too? And then she was straightened. The straightening here refers to sanctification. The result of sin being lifted, the word is literally narrow. She was made narrow. Straight up, narrow, so that she could walk in all good works. She was declared that her burden was released, and now she was straight. And that meant she had tunnel vision in her life. Yes, we have a tunnel vision. We have one focus. How shall my soul give worthy thanks, O God, to thee? And she glorified God. There was a thrill that ran through her heart. Her heart and her soul began to shudder. She began to sing God's praises. She began to extol Him. To glorify God means that as you see God shining out to you in the wonder of His grace and holiness, His justice and His mercy, as you see all of that revealed in Christ, you begin to extol, you begin to speak of God. She felt constrained. There was now a different burden upon her soul. Not a burden weighing down, but a burden that was lifting her up. She had to glorify her God with joy. She was alone in this that day. The ruler of the synagogue had indignation. He was furious that Jesus would do this on the Sabbath day. His view of the Sabbath is simply this: you don't lift burdens on Sunday. If it's a 10-pound bag that you have to carry on Sunday, you separate it into 2 5-pound packages and take 2 trips so that you don't lift too much and you're more holy. Don't lift on Sunday. This is not Jesus' view of Sunday. Jesus views Sunday as the day of lifting burdens, heart burdens, sin burdens, so important that He says to you, His child, today you may lay aside the burden of your earthly life. Don't get behind the wheel of the truck. Don't pour foundations in the hot sun. Don't stare at the computer screen with the finances. Don't clean the bathroom. You can put that aside, because we have heavy work to do today. There's a burden that you bear that must be lifted today from you, a burden of sin and guilt and despair. You need carry it no further. Behold the bread and the wine and the crucified body of Jesus Christ, and hear His voice. You are loosed from your infirmity, your burden must be lifted today. Amen. We thank Thee for Thy word. Now seal it in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Amen.